Amen. All right. So if you would open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians, we're going to do a Bible study that I just entitled Looking for Opportunity. Looking for Opportunity. This morning, I thought I had a legitimate opportunity to let my wife know that I loved her and to flirt with her. And I was out running errands this morning. Some of you know because you saw this because I posted it. But I was out running errands, and I was coming home, and I knew Christine was going to go to a couple places, and she's going to take the kids. And I knew about the time she was going to leave. So as I was driving home down Upper James, I see a white van just like ours pull out from Jameson Avenue right here. So I was, and then it turned. It was headed towards me. A lady was driving, a younger person in the passenger seat. I was sure it was Christine. So, and because my kids were there as well, I thought she saw me. I was just going to be goofy, you know, and because I always like that when the kids go, oh, Dad, you know. So I puckered up my lips and I waved, and it was not my wife, and it was not my kids. And they just looked at me, and I promptly continued driving with much embarrassment in my cheeks. But nonetheless, I thought I had an opportunity, and instead of it being an opportunity for me to flirt with my life, many people have found that funny today. So there's your laugh. Looking for opportunity. So I wonder, as Christians, if we are quite familiar with the amount of opportunity God gives us on a day-to-day basis. Every day is an opportunity, in a sense. Every blessing is an opportunity. Every trial is an opportunity. And we have these chances. We'll call them a door open for effectual service for the Lord. How often do we take advantage of opportunities that God gives us? You say, well, opportunities for what exactly? Well, opportunities to glorify God, opportunities to testify of God's grace, opportunities to grow in your walk with the Lord, opportunities to tell someone about the wonderful love of Jesus and what he did on the cross for your sins and for mine. So tonight we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth about the importance of looking for open doors, of looking for opportunities. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you know your Bible, you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is one of the most exhaustive chapters on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We often read it at Easter time, and of course, celebrating the resurrection year-round as his children, we frequently visit the book of 1 Corinthians, and in particular, the chapter 15. And Paul says at the end of the chapter in verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So you know that this is, we're going to go on to chapter 16, so go ahead, and if you have to turn the page, we're going to read a few verses in chapter 16 as well. And if you know your Bible well, you happen to know that the Gentile church, like the one at Corinth, was sort of in the process of receiving an offering. They were receiving an offering for their Jewish brothers and sisters who were living in extreme famine, and that was part of what God was using to draw the Gentiles and the Jews together. They were helping one another, they were serving one another, and so they were taking up this collection, so to say. So we see it say that in verse 1 of chapter 16. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." Verse 2 says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit." I love the way Paul writes here. It's just a genuine letter to the church there. If the Lord permit. So he goes on to say, in verse 8, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." Why is he going to tarry there? Well, verse 9 is a verse I want to focus on, and we'll reference back to several times tonight. I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. There is an opportunity, and it is an effective opportunity for me to minister, a great door. And because of this, he's going to stay there, but he says there are many adversaries. So verse 10 says, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. So, as again, I just love the way Paul writes this. You know, it's just a letter. He's writing to the church, and he says these things, and he's also under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So everything here, we may consider it a detail that's just, you know, he's going to stay if he can, if the Lord permit. We say, okay, we're just witnessing sort of letter chat. It's not that important. But you know what? We can even learn from that, right? When Paul says, if the Lord permit. You know, Paul was obviously submissive to the leadership of the Lord. And we can do the same. In fact, we often do. I've heard many of you say it, and I have said it. You know, oh, well, Lord willing, we will, or if the Lord permits, we've used phrases like that because it is up to God, and we show our submission to him when we say, if the Lord will, or Lord willing, or should the Lord permit. So he's writing this letter, and he just explains these things, and he's talking about this wonderful door, effectual door, that's open to him at Ephesus, and so he's going to remain there. So I want us to see what it was and how this is happening with Paul. Like we want this to impact us just like it was going to impact the church in Corinth. And so I want to think about a few things, opportunities, if you will, principles that we can think about tonight that will help us understand this. So first of all, this. We should, and I hope we are, amazed that God would provide doors of opportunity for people like us. Now, don't get offended. You say, people like us. Well, just what do you mean by that? Well, I'll put it delicately. Dirty, rotten sinners, right? No, I'm kidding. You know, that is what we all are, though, right? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we should be amazed, folks, that God would provide opportunity for us to serve him. Why should we be amazed by that? Well, Paul was. Paul said he was thankful that God hath enabled him and counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry, who before was all those bad things. Folks, we know that we're sinners. We sin on a regular basis. We contend with the flesh on a regular basis, and we suppress that through the power of the Spirit and the Word of God, but we still struggle. So let's be amazed that God would provide open doors to people like us. I hope you're amazed by that. His grace, and also that he would choose to provide opportunity for us. You know, I was reading a commentator on this particular passage, and he said that the Lord's worker must have a vision for the future. The Lord's worker must have a vision for the future. Sometimes we're stuck on the here and now, aren't we? You know, but what do we expect in the future? What kind of opportunities do you want in the future as a child of God? Do you want opportunities to witness to that neighbor that's been living there now for a while and you haven't yet connected? Do you want opportunity to invite someone to church or see someone, a family member, come to know the Lord? Or opportunity to be involved in the work of the Lord? What is your vision? The Christian who is motivated and consumed and really just enveloped in God's love will often notice opportunities. If you're motivated by the love of God and you're consumed by it, you will notice opportunities that are not yet met. You know, I ask God to do this with me all the time. I want to look at people as a soul who needs the gospel. We're so quick sometimes to make immediate judgments that we forget that they are a soul for whom God, Jesus died. And I often ask the Lord to give me that vision. And as Christians who are motivated and consumed by his love, we are looking for ways to serve and doors to open. Never have or should we get over the fact that God is willing to use us, that he would even give open doors to us that we could, you know, he knows our past oops. He knows our present oops. He even knows our future oops, and yet still gives us opportunities to serve him. And it's one of the great encouragements of Scripture is all those flawed people who he wonderfully used, right? Because I'm just on the list of the flawed. You know, it's this huge list of flawed people and one list of unflawed people, Jesus Christ, right? And we're flawed, but yet he uses people knowing all the oops that they have, are, and will make in the future. And in fact, I referenced Paul. Let me just show you it. It'll be on the screen, but it's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. You can turn there if you want, but this is what he says. This is the Apostle Paul. We would probably agree that he's second to Christ as far as his effectiveness, his faithfulness. But he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." It's almost as he in verse 13, as if he is saying, "Look, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which was in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And I really believe that was a motivator for Paul. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he knows what it was like to be the chiefest of sinners. And he is awed and amazed by the grace of God. I would stand gladly in line with the Apostle Paul on that one. That I am a sinner and I obtained mercy, though I didn't deserve it. And he is faithful and he has enabled me to serve him. And we ought to be amazed by it. Verse 16 says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Isn't that cool? In verse 17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." He's just having a little hallelujah moment. "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul never got over the fact that God's mercy was so sufficient that his sin could be forgiven and the direction of his life could be changed forever, and God would institute him as a tool to do the same thing in the lives of millions and millions of others. And I just speak to the fact that he used Paul to write a large part of the New Testament. And here we are reading it and studying it and preaching it and learning from it tonight, you know, so many years later. It's amazing when you consider the people he's writing to as well. In many ways, the men and women of the Corinthian church were like the poster children for dysfunctional churches or dysfunctional families. I mean, in fact, that's really what a lot of this book is about. However, when you consider that, the way Paul is talking to this dysfunctional group of people, he still starts the book in a wonderful way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 1. Flip back a few pages and just read a couple of verses with me and listen to how he opens the book. Under inspiration of the Spirit, of course. "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." You know, that's 1 Corinthians. The way he opens it in 2 Corinthians is quite similar. He says the same thing. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ." And he's praying that for these people, knowing who they are. You know, he essentially says, sure, you know, there's a lot of things wrong, but you are called to be a saint of God. Grace and mercy be upon you. I'm thankful for you in Christ Jesus. Amazing. Paul's thankful for this church, even though they're fairly messed up and they need guidance and they need direction. And don't we all? So now here's the point of that. all of these problems, and I'm certain you've gone through the book of 1 Corinthians. In fact, I've preached many of the passages in between the beginning and where we started in chapter 16. All of these problems that are going to be presented throughout the book of 1 Corinthians, between what I just read a moment ago to where we were in the beginning, all of these problems, they are presented in terms of doors of opportunity that can help this group of men and women get to a better place. So when I opened up tonight the way that I did about asking if you view everything in your life as an opportunity, or a lot of things in your life as an opportunity, this is far from giving up on them, right? Paul's not giving up on these people because of their weakness. Paul has high hopes for them. That's why he was making plans right there and where we read at the beginning to eventually come and spend some time with them. He was coming to be with them because there was opportunity. And Paul was not one to miss opportunity, right? Everywhere he went, there was an opportunity. Even in jail, there were multiple opportunities. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." He said, I don't want to see you just in passing. He said, I want to spend some time with you. There's opportunities. This book illustrates all the doors of opportunity that existed among them. And it's not writing them off. Paul is not writing them off because of their shortcomings, because of their failures. And Jesus doesn't write us off in the same way. We have failures. We have shortcomings. We have issues. And God has given us a book of how to deal with these things. And I just find it comforting to know that he can use us if we will just submit ourselves to him. Submit how? Well, repent of sin. You know, confess, get right with the Lord. And during your time of closeness and forgiveness, walk with him. Look for opportunities. You know, I love this about your relationship with God. You could be wandering from God and backslidden and far away. Speaking with someone recently, very recently, as a matter of fact, and they've been backslidden for almost 20 years, so far away from God. The salvation testimony is so very strong. They know the Lord so very well, a very clear presentation of their testimony, and yet for 20 years, backsliding, not serving the Lord, not coming to church, not involved, but convicted often that he wasn't doing those things, and troubled by that. But you know what? Through one prayer of confession and repentance, he is restored into a right relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's ready to be used. Now, there are issues, of course. There are 20 years that went by where he was not able to be used, but that's in the past, right? It's time to press now toward the mark. It's time to move forward and do with the time that God has given you. I don't want to see people make mistakes that they regret. I don't want to see people turn their back on God and have to be restored. And I don't like that process. And of course, you know, there is time wasted that could be used for God. But I am thankful that we are a prayer away from confession and repentance and restored relationship with God, right? It's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord for it. So Paul is essentially talking to this church, and he's exemplifying opportunities that are open. Now, while we're in that neighborhood, let's just bring that around to you and I for just a second. I mean, think about what you and I bring to the table, not in means of, hey, look at me, look what I can do. But, you know, Paul was pretty clear about himself and all the reasons God might have had to not use him, all these reasons that he could be easily disqualified. Also, all the things about the Corinthian church that were messed up. If God wanted to, he could have said, these people will never be fit for service. I'm not going to use these heathens, these service. But what about you and me? Do you think that God has specific doors of opportunity available to you right now? Do you think that? Do you believe that? Right now, there's opportunity for you. Did he give you doors of opportunity that you could have walked through past this past week? Maybe even today, an opportunity. While he gives you those, will we take advantage of them in the coming weeks? Will we see them? Will we notice them? Perhaps our prayer tonight should be, Lord, help me see those opportunities. I know of opportunities missed in my life. Do you know about those? You know, opportunities where you didn't do what the Spirit was urging you to do. Maybe missed talking to that person or handing that track out. And I tell you, it grieves your heart to think about it. But you know what? given everything you know about your past and everything you know about your present and everything that you can dream up about your probable future, if that's anything less than pristine and perfection, does the fact that God would provide open doors of service available to you and to me, does that amaze you? It does me, because I know how I have failed the Lord. Isn't that proof of God's amazing grace? You know, I don't want to think about the possible sins in the future, but I know I'm going to mess up. I know I'm going to struggle. I know I'm going to have to ask forgiveness from someone. I know I'm going to have to go before the Lord. And the fact that God knows everything that I'll ever do wrong in my life and still sees fit to use me, that amazes me. And I hope it amazes you as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus," now I'm just reading this because this is where we would often go for the Lord's Supper, "that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave him thanks, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." Now, why did I read that? Does it seem off the wall to you that I would just plug that in right here where we're talking about being amazed that God could use us? You see, the fact that God would give Paul and or Corinthians, or us for that matter, opportunities to service, that ought to cause us to immediately run to the Lord's table in our minds and remember all that was necessary for our salvation and all the links that Jesus went through to provide for you and me salvation by grace through faith. All that was necessary to transform men and women who could even walk through doors that God is giving them. We ought to be amazed by that. We ought to have faith in that. You know, the Bible says without faith, of course, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him. Well, Pastor Tricky, I don't know that I've walked through those doors of opportunity last week. I don't know that I could do it today. I don't know that I could do it tomorrow. I'm not sure I have the power to actually go through that door. Well, if you are saying that tonight, this is all. What we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is right after. Here's a little quiz for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 comes after 1 Corinthians chapter 15, true or false? True. Everybody passes with 100%. But you know what's interesting about that is in the middle of everything we're talking about, we have the great resurrection chapter in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I wonder if that would inspire, empower, encourage us in any way to understand that if he can resurrect himself from the dead, that he can empower you and I to accomplish great things if we will walk through these doors of opportunity that he provides. It's important to see that Paul proceeds this discussion about open doors of opportunity with discussions of the resurrection. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." I hope all of us are amazed we could even get to this place that God has prepared for us now and in the days ahead. Let's take it a bit further. Number two, we should be encouraged also that walking through open doors can lead to a life of effectiveness. I tell you what, you may not think along these lines, but in some sense, people want to matter. We want to matter. We want to feel as though we have done something, that we have accomplished something, that we have this, this ability to impact. We have that built in our system. And I believe it is a God-given thing to have it because God has provided the means by which to have that fulfillment. There's a George Mueller little biography clip that's been circulating the internet this week. Just go look up George Mueller. Wow, the things that he accomplished with orphanages and the thousands upon thousands of children he impacted. But his testimony is this: as soon as he surrendered his will to God, He never wanted wealth. He didn't care about fame. He didn't care about anything but pleasing the Lord. And he lived his life and was just the way it read, he was so fulfilled. He was so happy. He had so much joy because he was simply a tool in the hand of the Lord, and God was using him. Go and read it. It's fascinating stuff. But I say that to say this. When we walk through doors that the Lord opens, it provides a life of effectiveness. We want to be effective. We want to make a difference. And I want to encourage you. Look at that word in verse 9. We see it there. Paul said, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." He noticed that the door of opportunity would be effective. It would accomplish something. So what does that mean for people like us? You know, how do we walk through an effective door? And how much of this requires a little bit of planning, a little bit of thought? You know, you're here tonight, you may be watching tonight for the purpose of wanting to grow, I'm assuming, in your walk with the Lord, wanting to learn something from the Bible, wanting to be encouraged, wanting to be challenged, wanting to be comforted, wanted to pray. You came tonight with the intention of something spiritual. So is it time for us to sort of evaluate, you know, what are we good at? Where are our strengths? Where are our weaknesses? I think if you're honest with yourself, it doesn't take too long before we can come up with some answers. You may say, well, my weakness is I'm really afraid to talk to people. Okay, so that's a weakness. Can you admit that and pray and ask God to give you some strength and maybe make plans to overcome that? Talk to someone you don't know that well, but they're not a complete stranger, and go out a little bit and get to know them. Step out from your comfort zone. Make a little bit of a plan. Recognize your strengths and your weaknesses. You know, if you're here tonight and you know God, you know Christ is your Savior, He has given you a specific, maybe more than one, spiritual gift. He has enabled you in some capacity to build the church of God, to affect the family. And so you're looking for effectual doors of service. That's what we're doing. What are the open doors to either build on my strengths or to help in my weaknesses? If you want like a practical example of that, you know, I was thinking of, I don't know who it was, but they were telling me about this rebellious teenager. They're a rebellious teenager. Rebellion is, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, right? And if you've raised children or have been a child, you can understand this, right? There's just that nature that we're born with. And as parents, we're given the responsibility to nurture that and to discipline them and to help them see the right path and the right choices. So as a child, as a youth, let's say you can admit that, yeah, you know, I have been contributing to the wrong environment in my household. I've been rebellious. I've been doing things that I shouldn't do. So how would it look if you were looking for a door of opportunity? How would that look? First of all, you can admit, yes, I have been rebellious. So I want to go through a door of opportunity. I've been honest about that. I've been authentic about having this rebellious strand in my heart. So what can you do about that today? Well, here you go. Go home today and look for doors of effective service. Mom, can I help clean up the table tonight? Mom, can I wash the dishes for you? Mom, can I take out the garbage? Mom, can I call 911 because you look a little pale after all these questions? Mom, can I help you in some way? And begin to walk through the door that's provided for you. You know, that's just speaking to maybe a youth or a child. But how many of us have rebellious attitudes sometimes? You know, I struggle with certain restrictions and certain things that have been cast upon us that I'm not comfortable with. I mean, 30 kilometers an hour is so slow in some areas. So slow. Like this should be like 60 kilometers an hour here. And I want to push that accelerator a little bit harder. But you know what? There's an opportunity for me there to be safe. Wouldn't it be terrible if I sped and caused an accident or something like that? It's just trying to come up with practical things that may help you understand. Maybe you are headed to work. And at your job, you have a difficult boss or you have a difficult coworker. So a door of opportunity would be for you to admit that you're going to struggle with that. You're going to have an issue. You're going to have a bad attitude. You don't want that. You want to walk through a door that God has opened. So you've prayed before you go, Lord, help me to have the right attitude. Lord, help me to say the right things. Help me to remember this particular verse that I've memorized about, letting all bitterness and wrath and anger be put aside, whatever it might be. But you've walked through a door by going to the scripture and you've prepared yourself to enter the workplace with a different attitude. Maybe you know a coworker, or you're looking for an opportunity. You're not comfortable necessarily speaking to a bunch of people, but you've prayed before you've gone to the workplace and you've asked God for opportunity. You go to take your lunch break and there's one other employee in there, and they open up about a bad medical diagnosis their mom or dad just got, and God has provided you an opportunity, right? To say, wow, okay, would you mind if I prayed with you right now? I go to church and I know the Lord and I really believe in the power of prayer. And if you'll permit me, I'd just like to say a prayer for your mom or dad. And who knows where that might lead. But that's a door of opportunity that you've just walked through. You see, I mean, we could flesh this out in all sorts of different ways. But I believe that this is what this text is teaching us. And if you string enough of these opportunities together, the result of that life makes a real difference. It's an effectual opportunity for you to affect a matters of eternity. The ultimate goal is to bring others to Christ, right? To share the love of Christ and to tell people about him. God gives us opportunities all the time for effectual service. And we are tempted to say, probably won't make that big of a difference. I've done it before, Pastor Tricky, and nothing happened. You know, that person just straight up said, no, you can't pray for me. That's weird. You know, if that ever happened, guess what? You still did the right thing and you walked through the door and you pleased the Lord by being obedient to him. How often is it perhaps God is just testing you and just wants you to do for him, even though the opportunity may not go the way that you want it to? You know, I have felt like in recent times, I don't want to be too specific because I don't want to give too much information about this specific situation, but there is a person that I've been trying to have very important gospel conversation with. I don't know that this individual knows the Lord. I don't know that they don't, but it seems like the devil puts something in my path every single time I try to get to this individual. Every single time, weird stuff. The phone rings. I went to meet this individual. I went to the wrong place. I just got the text message. Everything seemed to just be in the way of getting to that person. I'm tempted to think, man, why is this happening? God, this is so frustrating. And I'm tempted to get irritated. But then I thought, maybe this is just an opportunity and I need to have the right attitude. I need to be obedient. And who knows what God is doing and how he's working. But if, Lord, you'll help me with my perspective, help me to see these things. Help me not to write off stuff so quickly. We're so quick, knee-jerk reaction type people. And I think with wisdom comes the slowing down of our reaction, right? I mean, look at a kid. A kid almost immediately responds, right? If you make them angry. It was so funny. We were on vacation at my aunt and uncle's house down in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and they have this dog. And this dog was very, very yappy. It wouldn't hurt you, but my kids are not really around animals. They just, because we had allergies in the house, so they're not really around animals. And so Aunt Brenda told everyone, just be calm. Just stand still. While she's barking, she will, and she was a schnauzer, right? So just really barking. It scared my kids to death. And we finally got there. It was a couple hours later, and we're sitting down, and the dog is kind of in there yapping, and everyone's like, where's Ben? Where's Ben? I was like, oh, Ben's in the back room playing. And from somewhere, we hear, I'm not playing. I'm hiding. So he was hiding from the dog. But over time, we've convinced him it was okay to come out. It was, what was that dog's name, Caleb? Sparkles. And so they got to where they were used to Sparkles. But every time we'd come home, Sparkles would still kind of have this reaction. So I'm watching Ben. We come into the house, and Sparkles comes in, and like a beeline starts running and barking towards Ben. And Ben's like, he just does this. He breathes real slow, and the dog calms down, and he calms down, and everything is fine. But why did he do that and not scream and cry? because we had sort of, we trained him to not have a knee-jerk reaction, but to stop and to consider and to think. You know, with wisdom comes that kind of response. So we need to be prepared for opportunities. When something doesn't go your way, your reaction speaks volumes, right? I mean, I don't want to be the one that's swearing like a sailor when someone pulls out in front of me in traffic or somebody does something wrong. We ought to be careful about that. And this text is helping us look for opportunities. I need to be done here shortly. Here's another thing I want to get to before I close this out. Because Paul said this as well. Look at verse 9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me. And what does it say? There are many adversaries. So we will not paint a picture of flowery pathways of ease when it comes to going through these effectual doors. But Paul was not one to be intimidated by opposition. He was not one to be bothered by the fact that there would be adversaries. He's like, I'm staying here at Ephesus because there's effectual opportunities for me, and there are many adversaries. But he didn't say, I'm fearful. As a matter of fact, it's almost at times as if Paul was thriving in some ways off of the opposition. But you know, the devil fights the Lord's greatest work. So if God is using you, expect the adversary, expect the opposition, but look for the open doors anyway. And maybe you're walking through a particular door and you say, man, that door, I don't know if I can walk through it. It'd be really hard. Which is exactly why you ought to walk through it and trust the Lord and have faith that God is going to use it, because there will be adversaries. There will be opposition. The devil does not want good things to happen. The devil does not want people to hear the gospel. The world in which we live in is full of opposition. And I realize that you might say the reason I don't want to go through that door of ministry or that door of opportunity is people are going to mock me. People are going to ridicule me. I'm not sure I want to pay that price. Well, you know, you may be familiar with what the Apostle Paul said. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And one of the questions we all have to ask is, what is going to hinder us? What is hindering us? What would prevent you and what would prevent us from doing a better job of seizing open doors? Do you know what? I think I should close with this last point. We could be encouraged today as well that going through open doors is most often a team sport. You know, you don't have to go alone. Some doors perhaps are ones that you have to walk through, but you are not alone, right? Because God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with us. But Paul mentions, if you read through the rest of this chapter, he mentions all sorts of men and all sorts of women and all sorts of fellow laborers, as you read through here, that are walking through open doors together. And I hope that, I love that. You know, I love to serve with you folks. I love to minister with you all, because it's sometimes we just need the teamwork, right? Right now, there are hurting people in our church that need the team, that need us to pray for them and minister to them and help them. And this is a door of opportunity that we walk through together. You know, I sent out that email about Brother Charlie Toms and his funeral on Friday. You know, at first we thought we were going to have the funeral at the funeral home, but the family just really thought Brother Chuck would like the intimacy of a church and would really want to have it here, and we're delighted to host it. But I said, that's great. We'll have the reception then downstairs. And like, well, there's a lot of difficulty for people navigating the stairs. And so, okay, we got a way to work this out. We'll have the funeral. And then when we leave to go to the graveside, we'll set the church up for a reception upstairs. And I remember the family saying, what, you can do that? I said, oh, yes. Well, we have church family, and we're gonna get together and do our best to set that all up. And you know what? I was confident when I said that, because I know that you walk through doors of opportunity, that you, when you can serve and help and minister, and it blesses my heart, and I hope it blesses your heart as well, because you're not doing it because I asked. You're doing it as a ministry to the Lord. You're doing it as a service to him, as a door of opportunity to honor and worship the Lord. So let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you so much for the effectual doors that you provide for us. Lord, I will stand in the front of the line and say that there are many doors that I often miss, And Lord, it burdens my heart to think about it. And I pray you'd help us to be more noticing of those doors, Lord, that we'd be more alert to opportunities. And one of the best ways I know to do that in my own life is to pray before I even get out of bed in the morning. Lord, how can I please you today? How can I serve you today? What needs to change in my heart, in my attitude, in my journey today that I can have more door of opportunity to serve you? Lord, I pray that that would be our prayer going forward. We thank you so much for all you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.